get the raw end of the deal. You know, like, there's no flowers. There's no choir of kids singing. It's just, way to go, Dad. Keep doing what you're doing. You know what? That's probably okay. That's probably okay. Welcome. Good to have you here. My name is Ian. We're coming to the end, actually, of our time in this series on Anchored. We're going to cover a topic this morning that I just absolutely love this, and I feel like this is a topic we have to cover because so often the Holy Spirit is misunderstood or totally forgotten. We spend a lot of time talking about the God the Father who purposed and God the Son who redeemed, and for some reason the Holy Spirit is just kind of forgotten. And you know, you're going to even see this morning we should not be doing it, but from the standpoint of the Spirit, He's all about bringing glory to God and bringing remembrance of what Christ did. It's like totally focused in, like He's always pointing away from Himself. So this morning, let's dive in. Just want to, you know, set a kind of a baseline this morning. For those of you who were with us at the beginning of this series, you know we did two separate weeks on the triune God, the Trinity, and I would encourage you, go back and listen to what Del shared, I shared, I think, as well at that point in time. But let me just spend just a brief amount of time on this thought. Matthew 28:19 tells us this. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples as he's just about to leave the earth. He says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name." There is a name, but it's like a threefold name. Baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so what we begin to see in a verse like this and many other verses is that God is Trinity. He is one God, yet He is three persons. And what we pointed out in those messages was that this is important for relationship. God is relational. We have verses in the Bible that say God is love. If God is one, only one, how can that possibly be? God is a Trinity. God is a holy community, and there is love and respect and honor in the Godhead. And the beautiful thing about this is that our Trinitarian God, not only is he in relationship, but He extends out to you and I relationship. He's all about being in relationship. Well, that having been said, the Holy Spirit so often, as I said a little earlier, is so often misunderstood. Many people see the Holy Spirit as an it. They see the Holy Spirit as a force. And I want to underscore this morning, the Holy Spirit is a person. He has a name. He has a will. He is a person. Let me demonstrate it for you in this way. This is a rock, for those of you who cannot see. This is a rock. It is a thing. It is an it. Doesn't matter which planet. It is an it. This is not a person. You know, there used to be a craze where people had pet rocks. How much of a relationship can you have with that rock? To me, it seems like it's all one way, right? It's like, you're my friend. I love you. You're not getting anything back. This is not a person. This isn't it. This is not the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not a force. Are there forces right now? Yeah, there are, right? That's a force. That force is called gravity. Good. Okay, I wasn't that good in science, so I just, you know, I thought I knew what it was, but every time you do it, it just works. That's a force. Try to be in relationship with a force. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is not a force. For you Star Wars fans, he is not like that. The Holy Spirit is a person. No, we didn't get it yet. It's okay. It's okay. It's early on in the message. We'll get it. Don't forget. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is a
person.
You get it. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Word. Look, think about the verses that David just read. How many times did Jesus say of the Spirit, he, in those verses, he says the word he or him 18 times. You think he's trying to emphasize something? In 11 verses, he says he or him 18 times. And I love this verse. I'm just going to bring it up. It's chapter 14, verse 17. The Spirit dwells with you and will be in you. Relationship. Relationship. The Spirit is all about relationship. Well, let me, I got a lot of work to do and I don't have that much time to do it. So if I go fast in this next section, forgive me. If you want to ask me questions afterwards, that's totally fine. But just for the sake of getting to where I need to get, I got to go a little faster. We wanted to show you the scope of the work that the Holy Spirit does in the Old Testament and also in the ministry, the life and the ministry of Jesus. So let me just kind of go through these things very quickly. The Holy Spirit is involved in creation. From the very beginning of time, the Holy Spirit is involved. Later on in the Old Testament, we come to something called the tabernacle. For those of you who are familiar, as the children of Israel were wandering through the desert, they had a portable worship center. It was called the tabernacle. It had so much intricate work of gold and wood and cloth, and there were all kinds of things going on with that tabernacle. But here's the amazing part. We are told that two men, whom the Spirit has filled, were responsible for making sure that that tabernacle was made well. So the skill, the craftsmanship, all of that was enabled by the Spirit. Of course, we know as the children of Israel were wandering through the desert, they had this pillar of cloud by the day, and a pillar of fire. That also represents the Holy Spirit. What is he doing? He is guiding them. And when the pillar moved, they moved. When the pillar stopped, they stopped. What a wonderful picture of the way that the Holy Spirit is working. It also tells us that the Spirit was instructing God's people throughout their journey in the wilderness. And of course, as they got into the good land, it was exactly the same. When we turn to the New Testament, almost the first picture that we see is that Mary conceived. And it tells us in Luke 1:35, Mary, don't be afraid, for what is conceived in you is of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was involved throughout the entire Old Testament time. The Holy Spirit is still involved in the time of the New Testament in conceiving Jesus in the womb of Mary. And look at this. Many of us are familiar as Jesus grew up and his ministry began. He went out into the wilderness and was tempted for 40 days. But are you also familiar with the verses at the beginning of Luke chapter 4, verse 1 that say he was full of the Holy Spirit? As he went into temptation, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, many times I feel like, you know, in our daily life, are we filled with the Holy Spirit? I wonder, you know, like, do we wonder sometimes, like, why is it that we fail so often in being tempted by all kinds of things? Our pattern, our prototype is Jesus. He was filled with the Spirit. In fact, it was the Spirit himself who led him into that wilderness. The Holy Spirit played a critical role at the cross of Jesus Christ. I know we don't see him. We don't hear about him. But when we fast forward in the New Testament story to the book of Hebrews, in chapter 9, verse 14, it tells us this: the blood of Jesus Christ that was offered on that cross, it was offered to God through the eternal Spirit. Do you know why the blood of Jesus Christ still has effectiveness for you today? Because it wasn't just the blood of a man that was shed. It was the blood of a man that was shed. He was completely sinless. But that blood was offered to God through the eternal Spirit. And so that redemption that you and I have taken advantage of, that redemption still has eternal value today. Bob, when did you get saved? Put you on the spot? 1981. How many years ago is that? 36 years ago. Is the same blood that you had applied to you in that, is it still working today?
Yes.
Yeah, that Spirit is still applying blood on people today. Now, that was 1981. How about if we said like 1851? Yes. Okay, eternity is eternity, right? What happened on that cross is super important to see. The transaction that happened with God. Christ is suffering on the cross, shedding his blood for our sin. The Spirit is taking that blood and showing it to God and bringing it to God and offering it to God. And God says, it's done. Right. Isn't that good?
Yes. Yeah.
That is so good. Not only is the Holy Spirit involved at the cross and for our redemption, but the Holy Spirit is also involved in the resurrection of Jesus. The Holy Spirit, right? His body was enlivened, right? 1 Corinthians 15:45 tells us the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. His whole body was enlivened. The Holy Spirit has been involved in every aspect of Jesus' life. Today, we are living in the age of the Holy Spirit. Are you aware of that? And I'm going to just take a little bit of time just to show you what has happened. Because if you picked it up as David was reading those verses, Jesus is saying this: I have to go away. I got to go away. And actually, it's to your advantage that I go away. And I'm going to just leave you with this thought. Think about scope for a second. The Holy Spirit is within Jesus. He's doing work through this man, all kinds of amazing things. But in a sense, the Holy Spirit is almost confined to that man. And the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus didn't really go beyond that place, you know, that Israel place. It's like the scope, the geographical scope is pretty limited. Now, that might be okay for a beginning, but I promise you, that is not what God wants. We're living in the age of the Holy Spirit. So let me bring up for you John chapter 16 and verse 7. While I take a drink, can you read that for me? Good, thank you. Ready? Go. Now, that was probably not good news to the disciples, right? They're hearing this. Jesus, we love you. Where are you going? We don't want you to go. And yet, Jesus is letting them know. No, I have to go. It is to your advantage that I go away. And then look at this. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. He kept talking about this. You read it, reread John 14, 15, 16 again. See, he just keeps saying, I'm going to send someone. This is the promise of the Father. And he says, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus is getting them ready for almost a transition from him being with them to the helper coming. And your translation may say different words like comforter or something along those lines. It's saying exactly the same thing. So Jesus tells them to wait in Jerusalem. Let's fast forward to chapter 2 and see what happens. When the day of Pentecost arrived, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. These are the apostles are there and some others possibly with them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, the Spirit enabled them to speak in different languages. At this sound, the multitude were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. So this is a Jewish gathering called Pentecost, and they came together in Jerusalem. There were multitudes from all around that region, from the north, from the west, from the south, from the east. They had all come together. We know from the book of Acts they came from as far away as the Babylonian area, from Iran and Iraq. They came from there. They came from, they came from the south, from Africa. They came up. All of these people are coming into Jerusalem. They came from the north and they came down. They came from the Mediterranean area. They came over to Jerusalem speaking their different languages. And God did something miraculous. He wanted the good news, the gospel, to get out. No more confined to one man. No more confined to one geographical area. God wants to explode the scope of his reach. And so all of these people who are in Jerusalem, they're sitting there and they're thinking, what am I hearing? And listen to this. This is what's amazing. They say things like this. Well, wait a second. These men are all from Galilee. That means they speak a certain language. How is it that they're speaking in my language? How is it that I can hear the wonderful works of God in my own language? That was definitely a miracle that God performed on that day. But I want to underscore this. It wasn't a show. It was not entertainment, Some of the people who were sitting there said, these guys are drunk. And of course, Peter tells him, it's 9 in the morning. Not likely. This was not entertainment. This was not a show. This was not, you know, to grab people's attention. I don't have the verse for you here, but just know this. At the time, when people started to wonder what was going on, Peter stood up and he says, he told them all about Jesus Christ, and he told them that they were the ones who put him to death on the cross, but that God raised them up. And in their hearts, they were so convicted about what they did. They said, men, brothers, what should we do? And this answer is critical to understanding why God is doing what he's doing that morning. Peter says, you need to repent and be baptized. You need salvation. So what are we seeing? The work of the Holy Spirit is absolutely to do with salvation. It's not show. It's not entertainment. It is, I need to get to people's hearts to convict them of their sin and their wrongdoing and help them to come back into relationship with God. Isn't that good? That is what the Holy Spirit is doing on that day, and that is what he is still doing today. And that's why I'm saying we are living in the age of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit move in you. The whole earth has virtually heard of Jesus Christ today. You know that, right? There's just like a couple of people groups who still haven't heard. Some of you know, Greg Decker, Diane Decker. They were with us for a couple of years. They work for Wycliffe Bible Translators, and it has been their mission for about 25 years plus to devote themselves to bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to one small people group in the Philippines. God is filling people today to reach people and to help them to know the good news of Jesus Christ and salvation and to bring us into relationship with him. So what does the Holy Spirit do related to Christ? And I mentioned this earlier. The Holy Spirit is all about testifying. He's testifying all the time about Jesus Christ. I was reading somebody who was talking about the Holy Spirit this week, and he says, the one thing, we have that beautiful poem of the footprints in the sand. You know, and that's I only see one set of footprints. Where's the two? That's the time Jesus was carrying you. And this person was saying, when the Holy Spirit moves, you see no footprints in the sand, because he's not about leaving an imprint. He's all about pointing and testifying to the glory of God. Amen. Go back to those verses, you'll see it again. So here's what I would say about the Holy Spirit. The work that Christ did on the cross, that redemption that he bought for you and I to bring us back in relationship with God, when the Holy Spirit comes to you, he's knocking on your door and he's saying, do you want it? He's knocking on your heart and he's saying, do you want it? And when you say, Jesus, I want to be saved, he applies to you everything that Jesus accomplished. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. But that's what the Holy Spirit is doing in relation to Christ. How about what is the Holy Spirit doing in relation to you and I and to people that we know? I'll show you a verse here. John 16:8 says this. I got it. Can you go to the, you may have to go to the, there you go. That's Romans, sorry. Just go back to the top, Bethel. It's okay. 16:8. Sorry. That's not her fault. That's my fault. I did a sloppy job in putting the presentation together. There we go. Look at verse 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin. He will convict the world of sin. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on the day of Pentecost. And while for many of us he may be living within us, The Holy Spirit has still been poured out. Remember that. And the Holy Spirit is still active in this world today. And the Holy Spirit is convicting people of their sin. Think about the colleagues that you have who do not know God, who are not in relationship with God. Think about the classmates that you have. Think about your neighbors. Think about your relatives. The Holy Spirit is at work. Do you remember when the Holy Spirit convicted you of sin? You realized you had sin. You hated it. You tried to stop it. You failed. You kept doing it. And that pattern just keeps getting repeated. But the Holy Spirit is not here to make you feel bad. The Holy Spirit is here to undo your shame, to undo your guilt. The Holy Spirit is the one helping you to recognize your sin, and he's the one who's urging you to take salvation. John chapter 3, verse 6 says this: "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." That just means every human being is born of other human beings. But there's something more important. "That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." There is something within us that is aching to be born. God has put inside every single one of us a spirit that is crying out for God. And it's the Spirit who gives birth to that human spirit that is within you. Here's what I want to do for you. You know, because I think sometimes we wonder, how is the Holy Spirit working? I want to read a testimony for you about a now brother. His name is Peter Haas. He's a pastor in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I want to read to you his testimony, because it's almost kind of unlikely the way that he got saved. And I'm reading this so you can see the way the Holy Spirit works way beyond what we might think. So just know this, that Peter was raised in a somewhat Christian home. He was familiar with God, just like many of us. We might have heard of God. But he said this: "Ultimately, I succeeded in my goal of graduating from church. And from that point on, I simply did what most young people do. I experimented with everything. Quitting church enabled me to stay up incredibly late, going to nightclubs. I eventually became a rave DJ." Now, to some people in this room, you have no idea what that means, but if you've seen those, you know, crazy guys with the turntables, you know, that kind of thing. Okay, that's kind of, all right. Sorry, that was a bad example, but anyway. Like all night dancing with drugs and ecstasy and those kind of things. That's Peter Haas. "Before long," he says, "I was mixing and scratching up unsavory dance mixes and selling them all over the place. As cool as it sounds, it was a miserable season of my life. Although I was free from church, I was empty inside. I was dating my future wife at the time. One day she discovered her father's body after he committed suicide in their backyard. That same week, my good friend died in a car accident. So like most people, when they're confronted with their mortality, I started to ask questions about the deep things of life. I knew enough to know that this entire world couldn't have just spontaneously arrived out of nothing. A Christian friend once told me, when you ask God to reveal himself to you, he will. But I kept telling myself, been there, done that. On the other hand, atheism felt like an equally blind and ignorant reaction to Christianity. One night, while at the nightclub where I was working, I got so depressed that I did an extremely scary thing. I prayed. As I stood in the DJ booth on the second story of the nightclub and looked down, I noticed everyone was drunk, stoned, and aimless. I just felt overwhelmed with sadness for the first time. And out of my mouth leapt this prayer: God, whoever you are, whatever you are, if you were wonderful enough to create the world, then you should be wonderful enough to reveal yourself to me. Show me the right religion, and I'll follow you. Give me a sign. Said I was hoping for lightning bolts across the sky, spelling out Islam or Buddhism or none of the above. Suddenly, I snapped out of my deep prayer and thought, what am I doing? As I became conscious, I felt, I need to go outside and have a cigarette. So I passed things off to my assistant and headed for the door. Only a few steps away from the stairwell, a total stranger approached me. At first, I thought he was trying to sell me some drugs. I missed most of the first statement with the blaring music, but his next statement rattled me to the core. He said, Jesus wants you to follow him in a nightclub. I said, what did you say? Perhaps I didn't hear him correctly. Getting closer to him, he repeated, Jesus has a plan for your life, and he wants you to follow him. If you follow him, he will give you a buzz like you've never experienced before. Suddenly, I came to the terrifying realization that just maybe God heard my prayer. I mean, what are the odds? I just prayed this heartfelt prayer 30 seconds earlier, and now moments later, Jesus is literally taking over strange people in my nightclub. The words just flew out of my mouth. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. The guy stammered, I guess we could pray. So right there in the nightclub, I prayed this old-fashioned prayer of repentance. Brothers and sisters, do you realize how powerful the Holy Spirit is? This brother today leads a megachurch from a DJ to a pastor. Is that possible? With the Holy Spirit, it is possible. All things are possible. I just wonder for you, have you limited what the Holy Spirit will do and can do? Let me ask you a question. Is the Holy Spirit still active today? Helping you to see your sin. If you've never opened up and asked God to be your Savior, this morning, he's helping you to see your sin, to repent, and to be saved. And he's encouraging you to yield. Yield to his moving within you. Just know this. He knows what's best for you. We're going to sing this song, Holy Spirit, again. I hope you could use this as a response song to God. But I want you to think in this way as you sing. Are you yielding to the Holy Spirit, or are you resisting what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life? We'll sing and I'll be up to conclude.
Would you join us?
resistances in your life this morning. The Holy Spirit is able to come and touch that area, touch that resistance, and just unlock it and help you live a life that God wants you to live. He's just urging you this morning, would you strengthen your relationship with God? I feel like some of you have allowed your relationship with God through circumstances to just grow cold. Would you just have a prayer this morning? Holy Spirit, renew my heart. Renew my love. Renew the joy of my salvation. Recognize that the Holy Spirit is present in your life. He is active in your life. Hear Him. Yield to Him. Trust Him. And follow Him. Father, thank you so much for your word to each one of us this morning. God, this is not a general word. This is a very specific word that you're speaking to each one of our hearts. You know each of our situations. You know the struggles we're going through. You know the coldness, the distance that has come into our hearts. And I just pray this morning, God, that you would give us a new start. We would be looking every day to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We'd be looking every day to listening to the Holy Spirit's speaking into our lives. Oh God, help us to see how the Holy Spirit is still working in this day. And God, I pray that our understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit would just begin to rise more and more. And we would not be surprised by testimonies like Peter Haas. We would expect sinners to come to you, to give their lives to you, and to be transformed from who they are to who you've made them to be. Oh God, thank you for the work that you are doing. We expect it in the days coming. Thank you for all you've spoken to us this morning. Amen. Amen. You know, we have a prayer room. I'm going to ask Bob to stand up, just in case you don't know who Bob is. If you want to go to the prayer room to pray out anything with some trusted, mature believers, follow Bob. He'll take you there. He'll show you where to go. And okay? I think we're good to go. Thank you so much for coming this morning. Keep a heart open to God, seeking His leading in your life. Amen?
Amen.
We'll see you next week.